happening now. In Paris, 21 world leaders, over 150 world dignitaries are gathering in Paris for COP, Conference of Parties 21, to talk about ISIS? No. To talk about the global economy? No. To talk about climate change? We're going to be talking about this and so much more. And is there a bigger agenda in all of this? Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolesheski. And today we're going to be talking about what's happening in Paris right now. 21 countries are gathered in Paris, over 151 world dignitaries. The President of the United States says this is the largest gathering of world leaders ever. And you've got to ask yourself, why are they gathering today? Is it to address ISIS? Is it to address the global economy? No. They're there to discuss climate change, global climate change. United Nations has brought these leaders together. And it's really amazing what's taking place here. This event started November the 30th, and it's scheduled to last to December 11th. 12 days where world leaders are going to be gathered in Paris. And the idea is to come up with an agreement that helps to lower the climate, the temperature of the planet, by 2 degrees. And the question you got to ask yourself, is there something more to this? Is there really something more? Why are all these world leaders gathering? And is this a strategy that's being done, kind of like rules to raggle, an organizing that's taking place to gather world leaders for something that's potentially even more sinister? We got to pay attention. We got to understand what is happening when you can get that many world leaders to come together, all in agreement for one purpose, and of all things, global warming. In fact, the President of the United States, President Obama, says that it's the number one security threat facing our nation. You got to ask yourself, not ISIS, but global warming. And they're trying to come up with a plan that bypasses Congress. You know what that means? A plan that bypasses you, the American citizen, because Congress is your elected representative. Why would we need a plan that bypasses you? We want to watch and see more of what this event, this COP21, as it's being called, Conference of Parties. What is this all about, and what's the end game? Watch this.
Gordon, the high-level climate talks have started, with political leaders saying they have to act to save the planet from man-made climate change. And President Obama is pushing for a deal that would bypass Congress. Dale Hurd explains.
151 world leaders have converged on Paris to launch 2 weeks of talks aimed at an ambitious agreement to curb carbon dioxide emissions. Leaders like the UN Secretary General think we are on the precipice of global catastrophe.
The time is now to act. We don't have any time to waste.
President Obama is there, and the White House wants a deal that doesn't have to be approved by Congress.
The design of the Paris negotiation is really driven in large part by the desire to get an agreement that does not have to go through the treaty ratification process. It's all perfectly legal.
The planet's warming. 99% of scientists have said it's warming.
Actually, the claim was 97% of scientists, and that has been shown to be wrong in peer-reviewed journals.
But the president obviously has to gin up public support,
because any agreement reached in Paris is going to be dead on arrival in the U.S. Senate.
My message is very clear to them right now that we're not going to adopt anything over here that is mandatory.
On Fox News Sunday, Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina blasted President Obama for continuing to say that climate change was the most important security threat facing the United States.
Well, that's delusional. It is delusional for President Obama and Hillary Clinton and anyone else to say that climate change is our near-term most severe security threat. It is ISIS, period.
A Fox News poll showed that only 3% of Americans agreed with the president that climate change is the most important issue. Public concern about climate change is dropping in most Western nations. But world leaders are spending a lot of money and emitting a lot of carbon to hold a conference on an issue that fewer and fewer Europeans and Americans care about. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Only 3% of Americans, according to that Fox poll, agree that climate change is something that they're actually even concerned about. So why is our president and 20 other world leaders and 150 world dignitaries are all convening in Paris, no less? There is something more behind this. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about organizing of the world. What's the end game in all of this? Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dignitaries all coming to Paris, no less. I mean,
well, 3% people think it's a priority.
3% of Americans feel like climate can, you know, change. And the goal here is to come up with an agreement or some sort of plan that cools the planet by 2 degrees, Steve. Two degrees. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is the president? I don't understand. Why do we need an agreement that bypasses Congress? I mean, we know from our Constitution, we know from our civics class in high school that Congress is our elected representative. I believe it's like for every 700,000 people in the population,
one representative.
You get one representative. And so that's the most direct representative that we have in Washington that we send to represent us.
Yeah, and it is encouraging to know that you have representatives saying it'll be dead on arrival. I'm like, well, that's good to hear.
That's good.
They actually have a straight mind hearing that.
You're listening. Why do we need the United Nations bringing policy that will affect us here in the United States? Shouldn't all policy change really occur from within our government, not outside of our government? And why are we on the cutting edge? The you know, nothing happens in the world without the United States involvement. We're the lone world superpower, and with that comes great responsibility. But why are we leading the charge in this area? What is the end game? And you hear Vice President Al Gore even talking about, you know,
former.
This, we have to go bypass this ratification of the treaty. Like, wait a second. What is this all about? And it reminds me of a segment that we did in regards to organizers of the day versus organizer of the night. And it was a series based upon a book that was written by Saul Alinsky, who was the then mentor of Barack Obama, then before he was elected, and Hillary Clinton before she was even in the White House as the wife of President Bill Clinton, and course, her, you know, administration later when she served as Secretary of State. And so why is this book important? Because in this book, who he dedicates, Saul Alinsky, to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, the back cover, the front cover, you may be looking at a picture even now, inside cover is dedicated to Lucifer. And you kind of think, Interesting. Why would this book be dedicated to Lucifer? Because he credits Lucifer with being one of the very first ones
to get his own kingdom.
Yeah, through operating in these principles. So what are these rules, and what's the end game? It's about organizing and polarizing and moving a group of people, small or large, in this case, the world, the world, for an agenda. And so not all organizing is bad, because you can organize people to do something good. But organizing becomes really bad and really sinister when it is designed to usurp authority, when it's designed to go around people that need to be involved in the process. You know, you don't want other children and people organizing around an authority around the home to circumvent what the authorities in the house established, parents, right? No, that's not a good thing. But we do want to organize to do something good.
Right.
And so we got to watch out for this, because why would world leaders, Steve, think about this, 21 nations be spending not a week, 12 days, not to address the concern about ISIS, not to concern, you know, to address the global economy, which many, International Monetary Fund, many people are saying that we have an issue here. We have a problem. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the economy comes down. They're not coming together to convene about that. They're coming in agreement over a 12-day period of time when many people around the world are not even fully engaged. I mean, we're in the month of December. People's just got off of the holiday Thanksgiving, and their minds are focused on Christmas and holiday and spending and vacation, and they're not paying attention. And it's so important to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, especially right now, because, you know, we've talked about before in past segments about the things that have been passed and before, and, you know, the day before a holiday or the day before a recent.
On a Friday at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And it's that much more to be mindful of. Why is there so much attention? Why is there that open statement that says this is the single most threat to the American security? It's just like there's obviously a reason. There's obviously a subparagraph, or basically something behind the scenes. It's like,
what's the end game?
Yes.
What is the end game? I want you to listen to a segment we did about, actually based out of this book, Rules for Radical. You want to get this series, by the way. It's available to you on The Torch, but it's a 28-part series that gives, lists all the rules for radicals, if you will, in the book, all the principles, but it also sheds a light perspective, a biblical perspective that us as believers, we can adapt, because we don't want to use dark methods to influence. We want to use biblical methods to encourage people and gather people to do the right thing. But I want you to listen to this as you get insight into really what is happening and what is the end game. Watch this.
And so here we are. Are we being organized? It's looking like the answer is we're leaning towards, I'm leaning just a little bit towards, yeah. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning a little bit towards yeah. The answer, by the way, is not rolling over and going to sleep right now or closing your eyes or turning on a movie so you can get your mind away from this. The answer is waking up, repenting, and being the light that God's called us to be. But also, as we enter in, I want you, this is going to just ring a huge bell. So we got, you have to begin to open society, right? So we're seeing that's part of Saul Alinsky's operating manual, Rules for Radicals, right?
Right.
The polarization, that's happening, right? So that's, it's like, and he, like me, and like Marshall Gantz, the president was a community organizer, but it seems like he's still organizing. Organizing is not wrong, unless we're using tips from Lucifer. And which Saul Alinsky's book starts with. But also, now it's like one more thing he talks about in his book, Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky writes, he says, remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution. Think about this. Once you organize, this is Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals talking about how to organize. Remember, once you organize around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then organized people will begin to move. From there, it's short and natural step to political pollution, to the Pentagon pollution. And it's like, they're even talking about global warming. They're actually saying we're polluting the atmosphere. It's like, this is not even a secret. This is like, this is a book you can get from Amazon.com and you can read. I was reading it last night. It's like, they just didn't use the word global. It's like, what is this global warming stuff? And so people are arguing about, they're polarizing themselves. Like, they're buying into the whole concept. They're being polarized. Mm-hmm. And you're arguing with the ones they wanted you to argue with instead of saying, did you just try to polarize me? Are we talking about the icebergs melting and stuff? You know what I'm saying? What happened here? And this is what he says in Saul Alinsky's book in Rules for Radicals. He says, remember, once you organize people around something as common, as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution and to Pentagon pollution. In other words, you can organize the government. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that our president, one of his first things he went to do was to go sign, he was going to go to Denmark, I believe it was Denmark, I can't think about the country that it was right now, and sign in the United Nations in regards to, let's go with this global warming, let's begin to deal with this global warming. Let's start saying, let's polarize people based on the fact that there's this pollution issue, we'll get the whole world buying behind this, mm-hmm. and start charging carbon tax to people, and it's really just some whole concept put out there, and it's like, okay, now we've created, we got people organized around the green movement, you know, and we got light bulbs that you can't burn anymore, and it's just this whole concept, and so it's like, okay, people can organize around that. But then he says, from there, it's a short natural step to deal with political pollution and Pentagon pollution. Let me add to that, Christian pollution and Jewish pollution. Mm. Right now, as we speak, this last week, I believe it was this week, a pastor was preaching revival in Louisiana, and somebody walks in and shoots him dead.
Wow.
Don't know all the details, dead. There's video of people walking up and so much hatred in their heart. They said, all I want to do is destroy you and remove you from this nation. I want to remove everything to do with the church and anything with the Bible and anything from just, and you have to understand that if you buy into this polarization, instead of humbling yourself before God as a Christian and repenting from our wicked ways and seeking the Lord and responding the way Jehoshaphat did and positioning ourselves to receive, to be able to come against this vast army, then you're looking at, you know, great times of trials and difficulties.
Right.
We're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
We are being organized in a simple little book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky is being used like a playbook. I mean, whether they're using it or not, it's like they're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But being a community organizer, hiring Marshall Gantz as part of your political campaign, as the one who quotes from a book, mm-hmm. Rules for Radicals, that was openly dedicated to Lucifer in the beginning of it, or at least talked about,
mm-hmm.
Tips from Lucifer, I think, hey, we got to pay attention. This is a polarization happening between God and Satan, darkness and light. And guess what? Light is greater than darkness. It's time for us.
It's happening. It's happening. The world mm-hmm. is being organized. You need to be alert. You need to be awake. You need to know what is happening. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be continuing to talk about this and so much more. You don't want to miss it, because we're going to talk about a new video that was just released by ISIS in the midst of the world leaders convening in Paris. ISIS is putting out a new video, and it's going to be interesting to hear their ideology. This is not about blood and guts, this video. This is about them talking systematically about their plan. They're not some random people that are just, you know, blowing up things just for the sake of blowing up. They have an agenda. They have an eschatology. They have a worldview according to their religion that says, follow the playbook, follow the plan. And you're going to hear from them what their plan is. But before we go to that, I want you to tune in to our special offer. This is special offer $19.99. It is the Sign of the Lord's return. Are you ready? Listen, you want to get this. You want to get this for yourself. You want to get this for a family member. You want to know. You want to be prepared. You want to be ready for the Lord's return. Jesus can come back at any moment. And I'm reminded, Steve, what the disciples asked Jesus when they said, what are the signs? What are the signs of your return? And the first thing that Jesus says is, do not be deceived. Listen, the days are evil and the time is short, so we need to be fully engaged and be prepared and be on the forefront, alert and sober-minded, so that we can pray and so that we can be involved 100% in what God is doing in these last days. Get the special offer today, any gift, any amount. We just want to get it to you and even get one for a friend. Watch this.
You know, we got to begin to rethink being the church. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999, and it's number 1999. And it is called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particularly mean? This battle for the temple mound that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine Decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, your partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows. He sees us. He says, listen, I command you. This is the command to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to vfntv.com and click on partner now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning. Are you ready? It's offer $19.99.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today. And also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you. And it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light, and it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes all of us, and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a public school bus driver listen to Christian music on the radio? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a school bus driver, and I drive kids from preschool all the way up to high school. And I wanted to know if I have the right to play Christian music on the radio that the bus has.
Well, you don't have the right to play it because you're deemed to be an agent of the school. But if you play it and nobody gives you any problem, you have no problem. A lot of it depends on the school policy. But as a bus driver, you're an agent for the school, and you've got to be very careful because you're really speaking for the county school system as a bus driver, and that could cause problems. Now, most of the time, there's never a complaint. So I would be cautious, but I wouldn't be so intimidated that I'd be afraid to do it. And then this way, if someone does complain, well, then you should stop it because it's, again, as an agent of the state, you don't have the ability to control that.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Global warming. Yes, we're talking about it. Polarization, organizing the world. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is straight out of the playbook. Why would you
Be more obvious.
No, why would you get 21 countries? Mm-hmm. Think about that. 150 world dignitaries. President Obama says it's the largest gathering of world leaders that has ever convened, that's ever come together. That's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And share with us exactly what is that? That I know you have the direct quote, mm-hmm. but what's the goal? What's the end game of this?
Well, yeah, you think about it. You have how it says that you have a people on the move. And that quote is how you heard Greg saying earlier. It says, remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution, then an organized people is on the move. From there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution.
Say that again and say that a little bit slower. And he's actually quoting out of the book, Saul Alinsky's book,
right.
Rules for Radical. But read that to us slower because mm-hmm. we want to get this.
Sure. Remember, once you organize people around something as commonly agreed upon as pollution.
So what they're doing is they're all something that's common. We can all agree pollution is a bad thing. The world is going to explode. We have to take care of the planet now. Mm-hmm. The planet's going to explode, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to make it 2 degrees warmer. This is a good thing.
Right. Then an organized people is on the move.
Right, because now that you've got them organized, now that you've got them working for a common good, mm-hmm. a cause, they're all together, they've built these relationships, now you can steer this cohesive group into right. another direction.
And then from there, it's a short and natural step to political pollution, to Pentagon pollution.
Political pollution, defense pollution,
mm-hmm.
Christian pollution, Jew pollution. It just goes on and on and on. And I think of the frog that never jumped out because he got boiled alive in the water. This is what's happening. It's just incrementally the changes begin to start turning. And before you know it, I thought we were gathered here for climate control. And then all of a sudden, well, this is climate control. But I want you to watch because on the heels of these world leaders gathering together in Paris for COP21, the Conference of Parties 21, by the way, organized and put together by the United Nations, ISIS just released a video of their ideology. The president of the United States is saying that for some reason he feels that global warming is the most, you know, important security threat to our nation, but ISIS is cutting people's heads off. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch their what their ideology is all about. Watch this.
This is our Khilafah in all its glory, remaining and expanding. It was established in the year 1435 Hijri. Its leader from the tribe of Quraysh is Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and its territory is already greater than Britain, 8 times the size of Belgium and 30 times the size of Qatar. It's a state built on the prophetic methodology, striving to follow the Quran and Sunnah. Not a secular state built on man-made laws whose soldiers fight for the interests of Tawhut legislators, liars, fornicators, corporations, and for the freedoms of sodomites. We are men honored with Islam who climbed its peaks to perform jihad, answering the call to unite under one flag. This is the source of our glory, our obedience to our Lord. We are uncompromising in our call to Tawheed. We only bow to Allah. Unlike the countless deviant factions raising their false banners and changing with the winds of Jahili politics. Yes, we are the soldiers who stopped the idols of nationalism, demolished the shirky symbols of Palmyra and Nineveh, and destroyed the Sykes-Picot borders. For there is no honor to be found in the remnants of shirk and nationalism, and no difference between an Arab and a non-Arab, or a black man and a white man, except through piety. This is the glory of faith that unites us. Justice is served with the establishment of the Islamic courts, and there are thousands of masajid and schools for our cubs and pearls, where they prepare themselves to share in the great rewards of expanding this Khilafah. America, you claim to have the greatest army history has known. You may have the numbers and weapons, but your soldiers lack the will and resolve. Still scarred from their defeats in Afghanistan and Iraq, they return dead or suicidal, with over 6,500 of them killing themselves each year. So while you go around cooking the facts on the results of your military airstrikes, we continue to haunt the minds of your soldiers and sow fear into their hearts, with 18 of your soldiers committing suicide each day before you've even advanced. And in addition to the $6 trillion price tag on your war against the Muslims, you're now too weak to put boots on the ground. You opt instead to attack us from the air with missiles, each worth $250,000, while we send your proxies to hell with 50-cent bullets. Then, there's your new coalition of devils, with Iran, Turkey, and Russia joining the fray. That's because the Millah of Kufr will always unite you together to fight the truth. So bring it on, all of you. Your numbers only increase us in faith, and we're counting your banners, which our prophet said would reach 80 in number. And then, the flames of war will finally burn you on the hills of death. Bring it on, for we echo the mighty call of our prophets. Gather your allies, plot against us, and show us no respite. Our ally is the greatest. He is Allah, and all glory belongs to Him.
This is what ISIS just released. Listen, I mean, their whole goal is to put terror and to come against the entire world. I mean, they're fighting in the Middle East. They're doing terrorist attacks all over the world. And understand that Israel is on their chart, and so is America. And by looking at the facts, I don't see global warming as our number one threat. It's ISIS. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask yourself that if there was, you know, a serious commitment to deal with global and climate change, then we would be bombing the oil fields of that ISIS has taken over, that's using to raise their resources. If we were serious, let's start. Let's all, if one thing can come out of this conference, a decisive agreement could be, let's take out the oil fields that ISIS is using to continue to propagate their war on all humanity. Mm-hmm. Think about this. Not to mention that Vice President Al Gore reports are he sold his television network to Al Jazeera for hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have the exact number. But he sold it to Al Jazeera, who is owned by an oil-rich country, Qatar. So, I mean, think about this. There is more to this endgame. Remember that the organizing and the polarization starts with climate control, something we can all agree on. But what are we going to? What is this group of 21 nations, 150 world dignitaries, where is this thing going to be steered? And what is their agreement going to be waged against? Listen, when we get back from this break, you're going to find out it has already started and the conference is not even over. But before we go to break, I want to talk to you about Vine Seminar. Oh my goodness, listen, the Vine Seminar is soon approaching. And you want to make sure to reserve your spot. You can go to VFNTV.com, look at events, and get all the information so that you can be a part. But we got to begin to start to rethink the original intent of the church. What is God called us to? What are we supposed to be? And how can we go to something when all we can do is just simply be? And we're going to, in this seminar, you're going to find out the original intent of the church. What happens when the church gathers and fully functions the way they did in the book of Acts? And what is the result when we focus on being, not just doing, but being what God has called us to be? Watch this.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficulty, difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, do you think it did? Was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together, and right. and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, mm-hmm. what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, mm-hmm. and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and but it's really, you know, we went on this journey some time back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church, you know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel, darkness. And we had to find out we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said, and begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom, the fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine. My father's the gardener. You're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If the God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to His Word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see the Vine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered, you can actually go to vfntv.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to vfntv.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're talking about what is the real threat. The real threat. Is it climate change or is it ISIS right now that has an agenda and they're fully funded? I mean, they're selling oil. They're selling oil. And if we're serious, Steve, about taking, you know, over this climate change, I think the very first act we do is just go ahead and get rid of those oil fields and destroy their ability to make money, earn money.
Yeah, and it causes you kind of, when you look at the whole spectrum of things in regards to, you have leadership not acknowledging radical Islam, giving false information or basically directing us away to, say, global warming while we're going into debt, defunding the military. And then all of a sudden, when you look back at the quote of what we said earlier about an organized people on the move, then you have it in regards to what other people are talking about while in this conference. All of a sudden you have people
like, what's next?
Yeah. Then you have, I think it was Mahmoud Abbas, and he just,
yeah. Well, I mean, exactly. Where are we going with this?
Right.
What's the end game? Maybe the end game is exactly how it actually just started.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not interesting, but it ends with going after Christians and going after Jews. No, that possibly can't be it. Well, I mean, just here. Look at what the Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, just said at the conference. Conference is not even over yet, okay?
About global warming.
But this is what he said. Israel's devastating the Palestinian environment. This is what he tells the world leaders. They're devastating our environment. And he goes on to say that they're accusing Israel of carrying out ecological attacks. And he urged the world leaders at this climate conference to protect Palestinian environment from Israeli military policies. He goes on to say, our resources are being usurped, our trees are being uprooted, our agriculture is being destroyed. And he says, defend us. He says, we've made great progress in adopting climate change laws. but complained that their continued Israeli occupation and violation of international laws related to the environment was a central challenge in their implementation. This is him speaking. This, you're looking at the image right now of him speaking at this COP, COP21, mm-hmm. interesting, Conference of Parties, United Nations Global Climate Change Conference. And then this is a picture of him kissing the president of France, François Hollande, and he's kissing Abbas. And this is what Abbas is saying.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, listen, we've tried to adapt with these principles. We've tried to comply. We're doing our very best. But you got to deal with this country, Israel, and what they're doing to us. They're destroying our trees. Think about this. Is this the plan all along to organize the world leaders to get an agreement to come against the nation mm-hmm. of Israel? And your heart has to go out to Bibi as he's there, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, as mm-hmm. he's, you know, a sheep amongst wolves, maybe, but you got to look at that. I mean, how uncomfortable that has to be to know that these nations here are conspiring. And it's important for us as believers that we don't fall prey to this, that we don't fall prey to being polarized ourselves, that we don't fall prey to joining a narrative.
Being distracted.
Yeah, that's going to be co-opted
mm-hmm.
and then turned against the apple of God's eye.
Yeah.
Turned against Israel. And then, you know, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, then Christians. I mean, of all things to be talking about, President Abbas talks about this ecological attacks that Israel is taking away trees. This is lunacy. Yet there's no mention of a third intifada. There's no mention of the stabbings that were taking place all through Israel by Palestinians. Listen, it's time for us to wake up as the church. 1 Peter 4 tells us to be alert and sober-minded so that we can pray. We have to know what the end game is so that we can be on the front lines. Listen, we want to take this time to pray with you and for you, and we encourage you, please pray for us. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no strategy of man is higher than your strategy and your will. Father, we pray that your will for the nations will come to pass, that you would awaken your global church, Lord, that we will rally to pray and to seek your heart and to seek your face, and that we may be about the Father's business, enlarging heaven, diminishing the size of hell, and advancing your kingdom on the face of the earth. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, we ask you, dear God, to end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Fighting with the Lord. Just an awesome thing to be able to do.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you beginning to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God, and alone with God, mm-hmm. they all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right, isn't that awesome, though, yeah. to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.